This is how a photo can speak about war in Vietnam. Kim Phuc, age 9, his fragile naked body mutilated by the napalm thrown by the Americans. Running, arms outstretched to escape death. It's 1972 and the image will circle the globe over as evidence of a war that nobody won and that many have forgotten. Napalm, a feature of that war, these scenes taken from US archives now more than 30 years old. The results of this deadly device have been captured by military cameramen. At the moment of release, the bomb's shiny, glowing bright blue from friction before impact and unleashing explosions of devastating proportion. The pilots would circle the forests and villages at low altitude without looking back to see the flames engulfing men, animals, vegetation, and huts in their wake. These scenes are not part of a film, but reality. The military cameramen even use slow motion to better document the bomb's potential. And the music, the same as the Marines would listen to on the radio, describing the dream of the most beautiful place in the world, California. Whilst the war destroys a country just as beautiful, Vietnam. These extraordinary images were unearthed from the archives only after decades for fear of causing a pacifist backlash. Only 3% of Vietnamese television services broadcast the scenes of violence, but it was sufficient to turn many Americans against the war. The United Nations in 1980, just after the horrendous images, banned the use of napalm gas against civilians. We are here, however, to speak to you about a battle of our time that no one was able to see, the most formidable, bloody and mysterious, the one the Americans waged in Fallujah. It was said that Iraq was the first war recorded as it happened, that the whole world was able to see. Nothing more than a lie. The West saw it through the keyhole and from only one point of view.
I was personally involved with escorting a commander to Fallujah for Operation Phantom Fury. We were told going into Fallujah, into the combat area, that every single person that was walking, talking, breathing was an enemy combatant. As such, every single person that was walking down the street or in a house was a target.
Is it true that you had orders to shoot even children of 10 years old?
This is actually very interesting. When we first got to Iraq, the Army had a set standard for male combat ages, and I believe when we first got there, it was like 18 years old was the commonly perceived age of adulthood in the military. So a male who was 18 years old to 65 was technically capable of being inserted. By the time Fallujah rolled around, it was any male with an AK-47 or a gun or whatever was a military target. And I think that is true to a degree. I mean, it happened. There was many times where children as young as 10 were fighting.
What will you tell your child about the Battle of Fallujah?
It seemed like just a massive killing of Arabs. It looked like just a massive killing.
We weren't able to see anything of this mass killing. The information coming out of Fallujah is dangerous. The few who tried to show it know something about that. Iraqi police arrested two journalists from Al Arabiya last March, and their video cassettes were confiscated. The freelance journalist Enzo Baldoni, who was killed in Iraq, was working on Fallujah in the last few weeks, just like the manifesto journalist Juliana Skrena, who was kidnapped carrying out an inquiry into the refugees of the city. A suspicion arises as to whether the story of exporting democracy to Fallujah was meant to be told or not. Did you gather any particular information about Fallujah?
Ma su Fallujah, non solo su Fallujah, stando lì avevo avuto...
Not only in Fallujah. I had heard stories from the inhabitants about the use of certain weapons, like napalm, in Baghdad during the battle at the airport in April 2003. And then I had collected, just before going to interview the city refugees, testimonies from other inhabitants in Fallujah about the use of guns on white phosphorus. In particular, some women had tried to enter their homes and they had found a certain dust spread all over the house. The Americans themselves had told them to clean their houses with detergents because that dust was very dangerous. In fact, they had some effects on their bodies, bleedings and very strange things. I would have liked to interview those persons, but unfortunately my kidnappers, who said to be part of Fallujah's resistance, have forbidden me to tell what I have known about Fallujah by kidnapping me. This war cannot have witnesses. It cannot have witnesses because it's based on lies. The Americans have permitted only to embedded journalists to go to Fallujah. Despite that, for example, the image of the Marine that shoots the wounded and unarmed warrior inside the Fallujah mosque has gone out. But exactly because this image has gone out, we do not know how, and because it has circulated all over the world, the NBC journalist that has recorded it has been immediately expelled from the embedded body.
C'è anche la storia inquietante di un giornalista indipendente.
There is also the disturbing story of an independent journalist who arrives to Fallujah in January. He stays there for 10 days, interviews people, and makes some footage. He leaves the city, he leaves Iraq and Jordan, and he goes to the United States. He stays at the hotel and goes to the beach. When he returns, he finds out that the room's door had been broken down. The tapes with his footage had been filched, but only those containing the images shot in Fallujah. His name is Mark Manning, and this can be considered as an attempt of not saying what exactly is happening in Fallujah.
Anche questo può far parte del tentativo di non far dire esattamente che cosa è successo a Fallujah.
Fallujah is the heart of the Sunni Triangle, the area most hostile to US occupation, the crossroads between Baghdad and Jordan, and it was the city of mosques and science. The destruction detailed in a report for the UN's office in Iraq, the UNAMI, dated January 2005, which was for a time kept secret, is described as shocking. Around 37,000 houses are destroyed. The Americans mark with a Red Cross the cleaned out or disinfected houses, as they write in their reports. As for the death toll, there are still no official figures. I can honestly say that I'm not aware of any civilian casualty, said US General John Sattler on the 18th of November. These images, shot over the days following the attack, seem to disprove his theory. The civilian victims were in the hundreds. It is certainly not easy to live in this area, if even those waving white flags as a sign of surrender are still shot at. Some manage to escape and others no.
This little boy has lost his leg. He's been injured with his mom. Are they Mujahideen? Is he al-Zarqawi?
This is my son after the bombing of the Americans in April. His body has started to change. His skull has grown. Dr. Mohammed Hadid and his team were given US authorization to enter Fallujah with the unenviable task of identifying and burying the dead. The bodies of the civilian casualties of women still clutching the misbaba, the Islamic rosary, their bodies showing strange injuries, some burnt to the bone, others with skin hanging from their flesh. Sign of bullet wounds. The faces have literally melted away, just like other parts of the body. the clothes are strangely intact, and so it is easier to distinguish the insurgents who are wearing bulletproof jackets from combatants and civilians. Some animals are also dead without any apparent injury. Footage also documents the disturbing story of the Baghdad imam Hassan Naomi, wanted and arrested by the new Iraqi militia, trained by the Americans, but considered too close to the resistance in Fallujah. Naomi and five others are found dead. The body shows signs of horrific torture, skin scalded from a grill and holes most probably from an electric drill. Shocking methods, they say, used by the secret services of some Middle East countries to extract information. Mohammed Tariq Al-Diraji, who has a biology degree, is the director of the Center for the Study of Human Rights, an organization founded in Fallujah in 2004. Mohammed has been invited in the European Union by some left-wing deputies.
And I want to start from my city about the situation inside Iraq. We have heavy to validate the new democracy and the new civil society in Iraq. But we very sad because the corruption in Iraq is taking place and working many masculine of human rights.
More parliamentarians were expected to hear him speak.
I don't know. This is depend on Baha'u'llah. But I hope to be many journalists, many media to send the truth about what happened inside.
Mohammed opens his PC and shows us images of a victim in Fallujah. A woman lying on the side, clothes intact, hiding a scorched body, a veil covering like a shroud, a face melted by the heat.
In al-Askari, I hear some witnesses say, here somebody is killing by the unknown type from the weapons.
In what state did you find the dead?
Different type. Children, women, younger, youth, older man, all different from the weapon. But many from them, he is killing on the bed, inside the chicken room or cooking room. Some from them, when he prayer, there is some witnesses. He say, when American attack some places, the big shisamu babab or alwan, Sean.
The shower of fire?
Yeah, shower, but the different color.
Strange color.
And after this, all the people in this place is died.
Why was the bombing so severe?
In the April battle, American say we want to catch the people killing the four counters, American counters. After the battle in April, American, he cannot to enter the city, but he researched about another reason. He found maybe a terrorist is a suitable reason. He continues to attack Fallujah between the April and the November. More 100 houses destroyed to kill Zarqawi and the assistant of Zarqawi. But I am living inside Fallujah, and I am not see anyone. He say I see Zarqawi. Where is the Zarqawi? Okay, you destroy more 100 houses inside Fallujah. Why do not kill Zarqawi?
Cordovado is a big state, one which sent the most men to the battle in Iraq. Approximately 150 kilometers west of Denver, between the mountains, we met Jeff and Garrett, two Marines who both ran an internet site giving information on the war in Iraq. But when Secret Services found out, it was immediately shut down. They share us material shot in Fallujah with a friend. Garrett, you were a sharp shooter. Did you ever kill any civilians?
I have. Yes.
When?
During various points in Iraq. Most notable was basically the... we did end up killing civilians. I'm not sure who actually it was that killed which civilians because there's so much gunfire. But at one point, Khalees was under attack. And we responded to that in a personal security detachment to ride up into Khalees, and there were civilians killed during that attack. Basically, they were trying to escape. They were driving their car at a high rate of speed to get out of the area of contact of danger, and they're basically driving directly towards us. And in a panicked moment, basically we basically lit the car up with machine gun fire, and. There were civilian casualties in the vehicle, and on the side of the road, people were trying to hide, but the vehicle ran into them, and that was probably one of the hardest points, hardest deaths that I saw. The killings definitely encouraged me to write more and express myself. When I did write, I realized that I felt like I was doing some good, some amount of good by just expressing myself and at least. Trying to show some Americans what exactly was going on in Iraq.
Jeff, it appears you took part in the attack in November 2004, the most dramatic one. Were any chemical weapons used in Fallujah?
From the U.S. military? Yeah, absolutely. White phosphorus. Possibly napalm may or may not have been used, I don't know. I do know that white phosphorus was used, which is definitely, without a shadow of a doubt, a chemical weapon.
Is he sure of it?
Yes, it happened.
How can he be certain?
Well, it comes across the radio as a general transmission. When it happens like that, you hear it on the radio through, we have speakers in our trucks. The speakers, and then the transmission goes to the speakers, so it's audible. And, As they'd say, in 5 mics, we're going to drop some Whiskey Pete. Roger, commence bombing. I mean, it just comes across the radio, and like, when you hear Whiskey Pete, that's the military slang.
Contrary to what was said by the U.S. State Department, white phosphorus was not used on the open field to illuminate enemy troops. For this, tracer was used, a rain of fire shot from U.S. helicopters on the city of Fallujah on the night of the 8th of November. That we will show you in this exceptional documentary, which proves that a chemical agent was used in a massive and indiscriminate way in districts of Fallujah. In the days that followed, U.S. satellite images showed Fallujah burnt out and razed to the ground.
The gases from the warhead, the white phosphorus, will disperse in a cloud. And when it makes contact with skin, then it's absolutely irreversible damage, burning flesh to the bone. It doesn't necessarily burn clothes, but it will burn the skin underneath clothes. And this is why protective masks do not help, because it will burn right through the mask, the rubber of the mask. It will manage to get inside your face. If you breathe it, it will blister your throat and your lungs till you suffocate, and then it will burn you from the inside. It basically reacts to skin, oxygen, and water. The only way to stop the burning is with wet mud, but at that point, it's just impossible to stop.
Have you seen the effects of these weapons?
Yes. Burned bodies. I mean, it burned children, it burned women. It white phosphorus kills indiscriminately. It's a cloud that will, within most cases, 150 meters of impact will disperse, and it will burn every human being or animal.
Some footage has shown violations inside mosques, black crosses painted on the walls and on the Quran. Do you know anything about this?
I don't doubt that American soldiers who are frustrated after being involved in combat for a year would have any problems with doing any kind of vandalism. I mean, it's very common. Indiscriminate vandalism was found. I mean, there was carvings in the walls at Babylon, an ancient, you know, structure, a historical monument. It was common for soldiers to carve, you know, "Hello, Mama, I'm from Texas" on these walls. I just think there's a certain lack of respect within the American military ranks, especially when dealing with soldiers who are frustrated. I personally did not witness any mosque vandalism. Our brigade was good about keeping that very controlled. But I did hear stories, places such as Samarra, Baghdad, Mosul, mosques being attacked, mosques being vandalized, the Quran being damaged. I think it's very common.
Is it true that you waited for the results of elections, confirmation of victory for Bush, before bombing Fallujah?
I'm glad you brought this question up. That was definitely the case. That was even in the ranks, in the military ranks, we knew what was going on. They told us that we were going to wait after the election, the American election, before going into Fallujah. And we had already set up the whole operation, like it was ready to go. And we were waiting for 2 or 3 days for this election to be over with. And then when the election was so close between Kerry and Bush, it was almost pissing off a lot of the high command, because they wanted to hurry up and get in there and get it going. And they didn't want what happened in 2000 with Gore and Bush, and the long drawn out process that lasted almost a week to find out who won. When Kerry conceded, though, it was like within a matter of a day it was happening, and that was definitely the case. We waited till after the election. We were told directly from the Pentagon to wait until after the election before going into Fallujah, and that's exactly what we did.
Alice Mahon was a Labour parliamentarian from 1987 until a few months ago, until she decided to walk out on Westminster. Mrs. Mahon had, since 2003, put forward several parliamentary inquiries demanding information from the Defence Ministry as to whether the United States had used chemical weapons. And the Ministry, after several attempts to deny any knowledge, wrote back on the 13th of June 2005 with the following: "I regret to tell you that I am sincerely sorry that this is not the truth, and that now we must correct it. The USA destroyed their arsenal of napalm used in Vietnam in 2001, but, emerging from military reports from Marines in service in 2003, it shows that MK-77 was used. The incendiary bomb MK-77 does not have the same composition as napalm, but it has the same destructive effect. The Pentagon has informed us that these devices are not generally used in areas where civilians are present."
I didn't lose my seat. I deliberately stood down because I didn't want to be part of a government that was conducting an illegal and bloody war against people who'd done us no harm whatsoever. Well, I heard from the American military at the beginning of the war, at the beginning of the bombardment of Iraq, there was an admission by the American military that they'd used a substance similar to napalm when they first went into Iraq. I put the question down, and as you can see, the reply was no, they hadn't, or they were not. My government were not aware of it. Now, I'm afraid some of us do not believe everything we're told at the moment, and so I did pursue it, even when I stood down from Parliament, and months later, we did get an admission from the Ministry of Defence, from the Minister himself, that a similar substance to napalm had been used in the bombardment of Iraq.
A UN convention signed by the US had banned napalm. Is MK-77 very different?
No, it isn't. It has exactly the same effect when it is fired at people. It burns them, it destroys things, it melts bodies. It's exactly the same effect. And what is in a name if it does this to people? I think the Americans are wrong to use it. I think my government are wrong to help in the cover-up of it being used. But, of course, in this war, we've seen the United Nations Charter broken and defied over and over again.
Why didn't the United States ever sign the convention abolishing these weapons?
Well, the United States, of course, do that. They go around lecturing the rest of the world on their rights and responsibilities and have taken note of what the UN said. Of course, they had a lot to say to the Iraqi government about obeying United Nations resolutions. They themselves think they are above it.
This war started with the intention to look for weapons of mass destruction. Is it not paradoxical that chemical weapons were in the end used by the United States?
Absolutely. The hypocrisy is absolutely stinking. There were no weapons of mass destruction. This was a broken-back dictator who was a threat to no one. And the Americans wanted to control the oil in the region. But I'm afraid there is no hiding place from America and Britain in this war. The facts will come out, and Bush and my Prime Minister will be exposed.
Carter. Range auto. All right, got auto range on it.
Roger.
Hey, Roger.
Hit him.
Got him. Good. Second one.
Hit the other one.
Hit the truck.
Go to the right, see if anybody's moving by the truck.
Take the trucks out.
Is there anybody in the truck? Wait for movement.
Not seen any.
Go ahead, store that. Auto range store. There's another guy
underneath. Move right there.
Good.
Fire. Hit him. Target 4. We're taking the other truck out.
Roger. Wait for move by the truck.
Move it right there.
Roger.
He's wounded. Hit him. Fire in the truck.
Hit the truck in him. Go forward of it.
Hit him.